Dunaldine had been schooled and trained in all this, but he had seen Johnny's fingers flying over that console and knew it was no routine flight. In the first place, the cyclo keys allowed for wide talons and wider paws, and it required a snapping tension in the wrists to compensate for these spacings with human hands. Dunaldine looked down at the canyon top.
"It is no room in the gloaming,"
he said,
"but I can try."
He started down. Johnny unwrapped his seatbelt and had them pass a small contrivance called a core gun to him. By firing a small rotating borer, the gun would take a 1-inch diameter chunk out of a rock face, the length of the core varying by how long one let the borer stay there before hauling it back on a line. With it, one obtained a cylindrical sample of a vein or rock.
"Start taking pictures,"
he yelled at the rest of them. They had 3 picto-recorders aboard, an instrument that measured depth below surfaces, and one that measured densities while drawing a pattern. The instruments were light cyclo prospecting tools, but being cyclo, they required a lot of muscle. The Scots took the equipment and began individually operating through the slots in the side of the fuselage. Johnny lowered his own port and readied the core gun.
"Take us in as close to the vein as you can get without risking us."
"Aye,"
said Dunaldine.
"There's the rub. Ready? Down we go."
They shot back into the chasm. Johnny could hear Dunaldine's fingers on the console keys. They sounded like a miniature of that Thompson. Then the sound was blotted out by the shrieking howl of the canyon wind. They swerved. The wall came within inches and swept back to yards. It danced up and down. The scream of the motors began to match the wind as they raced to correct positions. Johnny forced himself to concentrate. He wanted a core on the first shot, for it took time to rewind. The sparkling load danced and leaped in his sights. He pressed the trigger. With a bark and sizzle of paying out line, the corer hit the load. Dead on. He triggered the rotator. The line whipped up and down in the wind. The plane suddenly slid sideways in a sickening swoop and almost hit the opposite wall. The core came out and dangled below the ship. Johnny reeled the looping, twisting line in.
"Take her up!"
he shouted. Dunaldine vaulted the ship up 2,000 feet to quieter air. He sat there, limp, his arms and wrists aching, sweat heavy on his forehead.
"Oh, man! 'Tis like dancing with the devil's wife!"
he panted, relapsing to dialect.
"Did you get your readings and pictures?"
Johnny called over his shoulder. The instrument men had gotten their depths and densities, but those operating the picto recorders, struck by the awesome scene and seeing much more of it to take, said no. They wanted another crack at it.
"I'll take her,"
said Johnny.
"The devil's wife?"
said Dunaldine.
"Nah, MacTyler. I have a feeling I'll be dancing this dance again some other day. I'll keep her, thank you,"
he yelled back over his shoulder.
"What do you want?"